Episode 14 of the Two Johns Science Fiction Podcast.
Science fiction and apparently comedy podcast.
Yes, even though we're not that funny. And this time, we do a science roundup.
Yes, we do.
But this time we're going to be doing a science fiction roundup.
Right, and a sort of entertainment roundup.
Yes.
Of all the cool entertainment news. And where do you want to start this week?
You know, there are a lot of things happening in science fiction.
Yes.
We talked about
a lot of them.
Yeah, we talked about Amazon. We talked about... Amazon is crushing it right now.
Yes, they are. Crushing it. I mean, do you want to talk about what they picked up? Besides The Expanse,
which we talked
about.
And they picked up Three Body Problem.
Yeah, they picked up Three Body Problem. And they have also picked up... they're doing the Simon Stollenberg.
Stollenhog,
yeah.
Yes,
right.
So... One of our favorite artists,
right,
who is Simon Stollenhog, he creates these really beautiful landscapes, and kind of in the background, there's always these robots,
yeah,
with these giant mechs, and they're very steampunk.
Right.
And in the foreground, there's always these, or is that Jacob Rosowski? Simon Stollenhog does different things.
Yeah.
Rosowski is the one that does, the Cossacks and stuff.
Right.
Stollenhog does these...
Stollenhog will just do it a regular... he has a whole thing on America, does he? Regular Americana,
right.
And then there's a crashed, gigantic spaceship in the background.
Mix those two up. Anyway.
I can. This is a sort of a school of art now.
It is.
In Eastern and Northern Europe of these very stark, realistic paintings with... unbelievable weird stuff in them.
Yes.
And it's paintings that they take very seriously, and I can definitely see... You know what I predict? I predict that this style of painting is what covers are going to look like in 3-4 years.
I'm hoping, because I want to hire Simon.
Yeah.
Simon, give me a call, man, because I'll totally pay you
the
cover.
The current style of doing covers, which really hasn't changed, I don't think... Some expert out there will call me out on this, but I think there was a 70s style... And then in the 80s, a certain style popped up, and I don't think things have really changed since then in sci-fi and fantasy covers.
Well, they went to more abstract, that said less about what was inside.
Right.
And now I see a resurgence, and I think that if you can afford a Stollenhog, definitely get one.
Yeah.
But the show is called Tales from the Loop.
Yep. Which is the name of a collection of his paintings, wasn't it?
I believe so. And so they're making these, I think they're going to be anthology-style seasons. And I can't wait because I love... He's absolutely one of my favorite artists.
Yeah. And so Amazon's got that. Amazon's got...
Yeah.
Amazon has The Expanse.
Yeah, The Expanse.
Which, by the way, I'm really angry. The Orville, which I love that series. And you may not have watched it. I really like that series. It's a very well done parody.
Yes.
Of sort of Star Trek type of things. And it's... I like McFarlane's sense of humor. A lot of people don't, but I do.
Yeah.
I like his humor. So I feel like I'm crapping on it. But in a world where The Expanse exists, The Orville should not be winning a Best Sci-Fi Series award. It's just not even in the same universe.
Yeah, I agree.
And as good as it is, and I recommend it to anybody, The Orville.
Yes.
The Expanse is just, like I said, it's not only one of the best sci-fi. It's the best sci-fi on television.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best dramas on television.
And just in terms of, in award ceremony parlance, Orville should be the dog. Do you know what I mean? In other words, it should be 3 or 4 years where Orville's runner-up.
Right.
And then they're oh my God, we won.
Susan Lucci moment.
Susan Lucci, exactly. I was going to say that. So then they should be, oh my God, we finally beat The Expanse.
Right.
Not out of the gate.
Right. No, absolutely not. And the weird thing about this, the really sad thing about this, because I saw McFarlane talking about how they're now going to be, since it was successful, they're going to be allowed to do it the way he wanted to, which apparently he wants to go in a more serious angle.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he doesn't go too far serious, but he wants to go in a more serious angle, and now that they have that one season under their belt. So it's going to be weird if Orville wins this award and then becomes a completely different series,
right?
Because the freedom that McFarlane has gotten from the first series, I agree. They should have waited for a while. The Expanse has been around for several seasons, so
yeah.
And also, it's
science. I mean, it's like you said, it's the best science. Political intrigue, actual science. I mean,
right.
It should have been
personal struggles. You know, all the characters
yes.
are none of the characters are perfect.
Well written.
It's very well written. The dialogue.
Yeah.
I mean, I catch myself all the time. One of them will say something, and it's just like very well written dialogue that is some combination of very well done space opera and hard boiled.
Yeah.
It doesn't lean so hard-boiled that everything's funny, except when Miller is
right.
around.
First season was like straight-up hard-boiled.
Right. The first season was a straight-up
yeah.
hard-boiled mystery. Well, I don't know, because...
Well, in the Miller segment.
In the Miller segment.
I mean, he has the pork pie, and he's, you know, I mean...
He is straight out of a,
yeah.
out of a detective novel. But yeah, it's just... The series is so amazing that I just can't even imagine... I don't know how you would top it as television
yeah.
science fiction drama. It's,
I'm going to skip item three and come back to it after we do
okay.
item four.
I mean, we're kind of doing it out in all kinds
okay.
of order.
So, like,
so we're talking about what Amazon had, and The Expanse is one of the things, and then the Simon Stålenhag and the...
yeah.
What else to...
Well, I wanted to talk about Dune.
Oh, is that going to be there?
No, Dune is not going to be... No. Are we talking about just Amazon properties right now? Are we talking about...
Oh, we were, but
okay.
we can go on. We can go on to
so it's been announced that there's going to be a reboot of Dune, and it's going to be directed by Denis Villeneuve, who, in terms of aesthetics, you can't beat that with a stick. I mean,
and can I say, finally,
I love the originals. I love. Yeah, the special effects.
The one with Sting.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Lynch's version. Number one, Lynch put his stink on it, so everybody in that movie is crazy. There's been all this talk about a Jodorowsky version. I don't think the Jodorowsky version is going to be any better. It's fantastic that Jodorowsky was able to wrangle Dan O'Bannon, Chris Voss, and all Angus McKee, and all these artists, H.R. Geiger.
Right.
It's amazing
all
that
Geiger's
he...
involved?
Yeah, I mean, the Jodorowsky version was the version that they wanted to make originally. And then Lynch made his version. And so there was this long struggle for years, and there's a documentary about it. It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. I don't think that version would have been any better. I mean, it's beautiful, and there's a lot of detail in it. But some of it looks just like as crazy as Lynch, but in a different way.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, you hear these stories about Dan O'Bannon sleeping on Jodorowsky's couch and like waking up in the morning and doing some of the matte artistry. And it's like, dude, they were stoned their
right.
whole process.
Yeah.
I mean, Lynch is...
Well, they're older now, so...
I mean, half of them are dead.
Well, yeah.
So I think Mobius was one of the artists
so they
also.
Were, yeah, they were involved with. So who all is involved in the...
So Denis Villeneuve is going to be directing. And, you know, he did The Arrival and he did Blade Runner, the Blade Runner 2049. I mean, they're beautiful movies. And I actually like Blade Runner. I had some small issues with it. I mean, I'm not going to go into here. Not small, but I had some issues with it. But I like it overall. I love Blade Runner. And I loved The Arrival.
Right.
So, I mean, he's going to do a good job. Now, my problem so far is apparently Timothée Chalamet is signed on to be Paul Atreides. And I pretty much want to punch myself in the face when I hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kyle MacLachlan, he went from Kyle MacLachlan to, I mean...
Right, I don't
get charisma and leadership, and I don't see him, I mean, I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't see him rocking it out.
Casting is really important. I mean, you can't play around with casting. You can't play games with casting, so I'm a little... Well,
I don't see him being in a Fremen like Chris Knife fight.
Right.
You know, because that was like, it was kind of gangster in the original. It was like, you know,
right, it was.
I declare the Unchart rule, and then they would fight, and then somebody would die.
Right.
I don't see Timothée Chalamet, you know, saying, give him a blade and let him stand for it. I don't see that happening.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just don't see it happening. So.
Yeah, that's the trouble. That's the problem. But who are all the artists involved?
Well, the one artist I was talking about before were artists who were involved
in the
Jodorowsky version. So, David Lynch, I loved his version because everybody was crazy. Dean Stockwell just looked sweaty and crazy in the
yeah.
whole movie. I mean, he's like sitting there with his mustache. He's like, you know, remember the tooth. And they like focus on his mouth. And I was like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
So,
the books were kind of nuts. I mean, like, if you, you know, dug into Harkonnen was a, you know,
freak.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, yes. Maya Karami, she just logged in. Hello.
Hey.
And so did Leighton Wallace. Hello, Leighton.
To both of you.
Yes, hello to both of you.
Welcome to our podcast, and we're going to bring it down now. Talk about summer vegetables and how you can...
I know something about summer vegetables.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this too, simply because I didn't like the day. I don't like veg in general, so I kind of thought it was too.
But I want to feel crazy.
So I've always been. I heard, didn't it come out that they're doing it in two movies?
Yes,
and that was when I heard that,
they're breaking
I was
it up
like,
into like two movies.
I was like. Yes, exactly. That means they're taking it seriously because that's a huge story.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. Like when they first said that they were going to take The Hobbit, which The Hobbit isn't a huge story, but there's so much that goes on that it's hard to, the pace, because it's a short
thing. Yeah.
When they first said they were going to do it in two movies, I was like, yes. And they said, three. And I was like, no.
Right.
No.
Yes.
And they, of course, ruined it, which, sorry, I don't know what you think about those two movies.
I didn't like them.
But
Lord of the Rings is awesome.
That's awesome. I'm really excited about that, and I'm glad you're excited about it.
I'm actually rereading the Dune books.
Oh. I'll see you in a year.
Well, the movie's not going to be out for at least a year, but in preparation, I'm rereading Dune.
How many of them?
Well, I'm not going to... Well, I'll be satisfied to get through the Heretics of, like, up to Heretics of Dune. I'm not going to read the chapter. I mean, if I can get through Chapter House and House Carino and the Butlerian Jihad, it's fine.
Oh,
so the Kevin Anderson ones, I'm not really going to focus on so much.
Oh, okay, that's more like it. I thought you were like, hey, I'm going to read War and Peace, and then I'm going to read Missioners of Hawaii, and then I'm going to read Battlefield Earth. And
I do want to make an announcement, though. Because this is truly, it's related. I actually acquired the original serialized Dune from 1966.
Wow.
Where
was it serialized?
Asimov's. So I acquired it. I bought it on eBay. It's on its way to my pocket.
Not if someone can intercept your mail.
True.
Well, it's like that stupid thing that happened the other day, which is not related to sci-fi at all. But when the California lottery announced that someone had won the $500 million lottery, but they hadn't come forward, and then they named the liquor store where they bought the ticket. You just put a $500 million target on someone's head, and you just put a target on your mail.
Yeah, well...
So you better be picking it up directly from the mailman now, because every science fiction fan in 10-mile radius is
on you. I sit on my stoop with a knife, a Bowie knife and a gun. So good luck.
There you go.
And I know the mailman personally.
How personal?
You can say hi, and they get a cookie for Christmas.
So where are we at?
Xenomorphs?
We're
talking about Xenomorphs.
Well, we can. You're probably going to have to do a lot of the talking because I'm not real. That's not like one of my big things.
We can do this, did we?
No.
Duncan Jones?
Yeah.
We can talk about Duncan. Well,
why did I mark it? Because I'm an idiot?
So Xenomorphs, so apparently there was a contest for Xenomorphs.
Right.
And apparently what they're doing is, I think they're starting to crowdsource because the last alien movies have not been great. So I think what they did was, in order to kind of, figure out how to write the franchise, how to write in the shit, they had a contest, which I missed, where you had to write a pitch, and it was selected. They selected six out of 550 entries. They selected six, and they're going to develop them into short films, which will then probably, they'll probably have some kind of contest in which they figure out what's the best story and how we're going to move forward with the story.
Right.
And, so I think that's promising. I think that the fact that they're trying something new in terms of, because Alien Covenant was, it's a beautifully filmed movie, but it just kind of was a whole lot of just,
it was,
didn't really go anywhere.
No, and that's, like you said, that they don't know where to take the, they don't know how to write this franchise anymore. And the real problem is when you've got a property that's that hot, but you keep failing to do anything with it.
Well, they forgot that
that's
the original
really
Alien was a sci-fi horror.
Right. That's exactly what they forgot. They tried to make it into
a straight up
sci-fi or sci-fi spiritual thing. And it's like, no. Go back to the horror.
Did I mention that androids scare the living crap out of me?
Really?
That scene in The Covenant where, like, David hits Michael and, like,
oh,
oh my God, I almost had a heart attack. I'm so like, faint of heart. Anyway, so that's the Xenomorph.
Right. I really wish that we had known about that content.
So, need some mindsets. Okay, so our next item is Duncan Jones.
Right, where they're adapting...
Right. He made Moon.
Right.
Who was the other one that we saw recently that he made?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Moon is one of those sort of very...
cult hit, but
very artistic.
Liked it.
Very artistic. It's like, I imagine a lot of people were going to think it was going to be, again, a romping, stomping sci-fi story. It was not. It's very much character study.
Well, he made Warcraft and he made Mute. Mute, the movie on... the cyberpunk movie Amazon.
Right.
Netflix. Anyway, so there's a property from a group called 2000 AD, and they actually originated Judge Dredd. And I have been a big fan of 2000 AD since I was a kid. I had the Judge Dredd comics. I got stacks of them. I'm like a Judge Dredd fan, but I was also a huge fan of Rogue Trooper. And that is what Duncan Jones is making. He's making a film adaptation of the Rogue Trooper comic.
Are those in the same universe?
No, they're not the same universe, but they're just a 2080 property.
Right.
So,
I didn't know if they would do it like the way that DC and Marvel, they had another.
Right. No, Judge Dredd would probably end up like arresting or killing the Rogue Trooper. Anyway.
Well, he is the law.
He's the law. He's, you know. Anyway, and I sort of feel like Duncan Jones is kind of made for that property.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he has a very unorthodox style.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people don't get what he's doing. Like, Moon really rubbed me the wrong way until I saw it like the third time.
Right. He is one of those, definitely one of those people who doesn't give a damn. He's going to do things the way he wants to do it. And I can imagine he probably got all kinds of notes on Moon, you know, at some point, someone saying, can you do this a different way? And
right.
He's like, no, this is my damn film and we're doing it the way that I want. Because there's no way you could be that eccentric.
Well,
and
there's also an element too where he doesn't throw out the emotion for the technology, but vice versa.
Right. No.
And because Moon really had me sort of torn up at the end.
Right. It's
You know what I mean? So, and that was what was so hard about it for me. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And his set design is on point. It was fantastic.
The end of that was very Shyamalan, I thought.
Yes.
Which we could use as a segue into.
But yes, we can use it as a segue into our next thing, which is
Glass.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. I had been avoiding watching Split.
So have I.
I don't generally like movies about crazy people.
Split personalities,
It's a combination of sometimes it bores me and sometimes it just annoys me.
Yeah.
But now that I know that Split was a... sort of a stealth sequel to Unbreakable.
Yes.
It
makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Makes it way more interesting, especially since you know, having seen the trailer for Glass, which is the third in the series, and it's about the Bruce Willis's character and Samuel L. Jackson's character, and I can't remember who played his name.
Oh, James McAvoy.
Yeah, yes, and...
James McAvoy.
Yeah.
McAvoy.
Is it McAvoy?
It's McAvoy.
Okay. Coming together in this, just creating just character by character, creating a superhero universe.
Yeah.
And people are starting to call this a trilogy. I really hope it's not. I hope, here's the reason. Because Shyamalan, these two movies are some of his best work.
Yeah.
And if this is what he proves he can do, keep doing that.
Yeah. The thing about Shyamalan is that he's been inconsistent.
Yes, and that's exactly why he
should.
If he finds something that works.
Yes. Like, I liked Village okay. I liked Unbreakable okay. I didn't like Devil. I didn't like Lady in the Water.
I didn't like The Village. And I didn't like, what was that one you said?
Unbreakable.
I liked Unbreakable. I did not like The Village at
all. I liked The Village okay. It wasn't awesome, but I was like, okay, it was, here's the problem. People judge him too much by Sixth Sense fame.
Right.
That was a totally new thing.
Right.
You know, and he was never going to top that. That was maybe his magnum opus. He should have waited.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you have a lot of inspiration at first, and then you start to... I mean, sometimes, what was the one he had with the devil and the...
Devil.
The, yeah, it just... What?
Devil in an Elevator. Like that was. Anyway, I like Signs.
I didn't like Signs.
I like Signs. I mean, I wasn't like crazy.
Maybe that's why I'm so hard on it.
I wasn't like crazy about it, but I was like, okay, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I didn't like. I have a really hard time when aliens are destroyed by something that's all over the universe. But I'm just like, no.
I get that. I think it was more of this. It
wasn't the humidity have killed them? I mean, come on.
Here was the thing about The Village and Signs. He didn't try to do too much.
Well, that is true.
It was just a good story.
They focused on a very small part of a big thing.
Yes, and that's what I liked about it. So, anyway.
But I will say, this looks... Having watched Unbreakable several times, I always wanted to know more about what the hell is Bruce Willis going to do now?
Yeah.
What's he going to do now?
And I really like Samuel L. Jackson, you know, at the end where he's like, you know the kids? Right. They used to call me Mr. Glass.
Yes.
I was like, he's a supervillain. And they talk about, you know, how some supervillains use their minds.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I want to know more.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
And then he was a really good supervillain in that. And Bruce Willis was also it was a very Bruce Willis character. I mean, he wasn't stretching
yes.
himself to do that character.
And it wasn't Monty Hall. He wasn't flying
no.
off somewhere.
Nope.
He wasn't hitting up X-ray vision.
No.
He was a superhero inside of a very realistic sort of context.
Right. And to me, this sort of thing is exactly what superhero movies, because they're just over the top
yes.
ridiculous.
So how do you...
I can't even stand it. X-Men Apocalypse, I was just like, how many pieces of CGI dust do you need swirling
yeah.
around in the air?
Yeah.
And
it's the reason why we don't discuss MCU movies.
Yep. It's why we don't, because
we don't
they're just so ridiculous now.
Yeah.
And I don't...
We don't review them. We don't discuss... Nope. We're discussing them now because they're relevant
right,
in this
relevant
context.
This thing. So when I saw this, and that was the same sense I got, was it's a very realistic... superhero.
Yeah.
After
Earth was...
Right.
Again, one of those... After Earth and The Last Airbender of two disappointments. I mean, there's absolutely no denying Shyamalan, particularly as his abilities as a writer. There's no denying that.
No, yeah, his writing is really good.
So,
I think he sometimes jumps into filming too quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things, I think The Village could have been... I think The Village could have been done way better. I think that the only one I think is unsalvageable was the woman in the...
Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was that's like somebody's...
Like, not even Bryce Dallas
Howard. That was like someone who is on a psychotropic drug trying to explain a dream.
Right.
It's like, there's so many things wrong with you doing this. And it's
yeah.
just like... I understood he was digging into myth. Okay, people are going to go, you don't know what that movie was about. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm a religious studies scholar. That was my formal training. I understand what he was trying to do and he failed.
Yes.
But I like him and I hope this succeeds because I just want to see more of this. I want to watch as soon as I can rent it rather than buying it on Amazon. Listen, Amazon, I'm not going to buy every movie.
Yes.
But at the moment I can rent it, I am going to rent Split and watch it. And I tell you what, if I like it, I will buy it. So I can own all three once at some point.
Yeah.
Because I think I own
them. Well, they should have a box set eventually.
Well, I'm talking about just the online. They have it for rent.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably rent it as a DVD from Netflix. Or I don't know, do Netflix do that anymore? I don't know. But anyway, I do like Glass. And what do we have left?
Rod Kresge says, very real and very raw in the depth of being a human.
Yeah. Is he talking about Moon?
Yeah. I think
Lady in the Water was Hope.
Were you talking about Moon?
No, but yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
That the Lady in the Water was hopeless. There were some funny parts. I thought the guy who just worked out his one arm.
Yeah.
It was funny, but it was like almost funny at the expense of the film, not
right.
the expense of the dude.
Yeah.
It was just like, why are you putting... Yeah, it's like the guy doing that is ridiculous, but putting the guy in there doing that was also kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it was hopeless. Yeah, it was hopeless.
Yeah.
So we have before we get into this one, I want to inject something, and because we talked about how we don't really talk about comic movies, because we're a science fiction
superhero movies,
right? We're a science fiction site and a science fiction podcast, and. Even though comic books is part of nerd culture, it's not actually science fiction.
Right.
So,
right.
But I did want to mention that Joaquin Phoenix is being cast as the new Joker.
What happened to the old Joker?
I think that they figured out that he was just a disco wandering pimp, and they decided to fire him. You know, I don't even blame.
That's
Jared.
Like the most Joker thing you can be.
Yeah, but it wasn't in art. I mean, you know, I didn't like Jared Leto's Joker. I like Jared Leto. The problem with Jared Leto is he hasn't found his stride in terms of his roles. I mean, Dallas Buyers Club, okay, great. He did a great job in that. But I mean, Joker was not it.
Well, maybe it's a hard act to follow. It's what I'm going to say. It's a hard act to follow. But I think Joaquin Phoenix will...
Here's the thing. Let me see. Unbreakable and, yeah. Okay, yes. He's actually right. Yeah, you're right, Rod. It was very raw and very real. Those two movies, definitely. Here's the thing about Joaquin Phoenix, though. Well, Heath Ledger was... he was method. So
yes.
I understand that he had notebooks where he would scribble crazy stuff. I mean, he was crazy when he made that movie. Now, the thing about Joaquin Phoenix is already crazy.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, and he is probably just as method.
Right.
So I think he'll pull it off. Leo, I just think what happened was the director wanted something that was too stylized. And the way that he shoehorned Leo into that, I think if Leo had been free, I think, to do his own thing, it probably would have ended up being a better performance.
But this is a continuity issue, right? It's the same universe that the old Joker's in. They're just replacing that. They're Darren Steve, you know, on Bewitched.
Christian Bale and Ben Affleck and Jared Leto.
Right. Well, yeah, but that wasn't the Dark Knight universe wasn't the same as the current DC universe was. I don't think they're considered the same. But I just think that...
Well, if they could have used Christian Bale for Suicide Squad, they probably would have. He was the kind of...
Oh, that's true. That
so
is
it's
true.
The universe.
So they probably forced the Affleck on us.
And then,
Affleck!
In his defense, they probably couldn't have found anybody better.
I don't think he did a bad... I mean, people crap on the Batman versus Superman movie. And
I just—it's
not as bad as people say.
I want to just, oh god, just hit a cheese grater in my fingertips. Okay,
but
so now we're on to our last little bit.
Oh my gosh,
Overlord, World War II.
I'm so looking forward to this.
God, this looks incredible.
Overlord is a movie coming out where apparently some World War II commandos are sent into this place, and what do they find?
Zombies. Yes,
the Nazis have been trying to create probably part of it. I don't know. You may know it more in the background.
I was sold
like part of the super soldier thing that was going on back then.
Right, and it ended up being zombies.
Very bad.
Yes, and I was sold when I was watching the trailer when the guy was like, "Why zombies?" And the guy was like, "Because you need a 1,000-year soldier for a 1,000-year army." And I was like, "Oh, yes, we're watching this. We're definitely going to be watching.
This is going to be reviewed."
It's going to be reviewed, and even though it's a zombie flick, which could conceivably be horror...
But an engineered zombie...
Yes, exactly.
...makes it sci-fi.
Yes, I'm down with the sci-fi horror.
Right.
So expect reviews on that. Pretty much everything that you heard us talk about in this segment, you can expect us to talk about that
You should watch the first season of Orville. Tell me what you think. You might hate it, but...
Okay, I'll watch. Yes, I will watch the first season of Orville, and I'll come back... I also want to mention, too, going back to the Dune thing, there's some great fan material on Dune on YouTube. There's a guy, and I can't remember his name, I'll probably include the links to his channel at the bottom of this movie when we post it, but there's a guy who does some really detailed narrations of beautiful beautiful depictions and beautiful like portraits of Dune, of the story, with the Butlerian Jihad and the Golden Path, I mean, it's all in there. There's some great
not one of the things you think of. Like, you know, people do fan art of like Disney princesses and stuff like that. There's 14 billion of those versions.
Yes,
I never thought of Dune as a place, but it does have. I mean, Dune has a fan base like Rush.
It's a great story.
If someone tells you they're a Dune fan, that's what your conversation is going to be about for the next half hour, just like a Rush fan.
Because I circle back to it myself, right?
Yeah. All you can do is they're going to pull the book out because that's what the Rush fans are going to go, let me show you this deep cut from such and such album that you've never heard before. It's like,
I just play
Tom Sawyer and I'll give you a thumbs up and let's go home. Dune fans are like that, man.
But I give Dune as a work of art a little bit more prestige than Rush.
YYZ, man. But Dune fans are kind of rabid, so maybe this does make sense that they would do that. I mean, it's really bizarre how much. I think part of it is simply because it hasn't been adapted properly.
It's a great story, though. It's also a great story.
Do you remember how rabid Lord of the Rings fans were before Lord of the Rings films came out? And then everyone kind of chilled out, like, okay. Now everybody knows our stuff.
Dude, there's a Bible in Dune called the Orange Catholic Bible. That's like the best. I mean, it's so detailed. That's why I love it, because there's so much to consume.
The Bene Gesserit. It was a very, very textured thing. I liked it. I liked Dune a lot, but I never did become a Dune.
Definitely.
A Dunatic. That's what I'm going to call it from now on.
Dunatics. Okay.
We keep making up new words. We got Minerva and Dunatic.
Dunatic. So that brings us to the end of our episode. That was our science fiction roundup.
May I mention something?
You may mention.
Oh, just
my
so
God.
You know,
you've been like
putting this off. I've been
putting
it off. I keep forgetting it. I actually write things other than my name on the top of my third grade test paper.
But move it towards the camera.
I am.
It's white enough.
And this is my novel on Amazon. Please go pick it up. It is not technically sci-fi. It is called The Ends of the World. And it is, I guess, technically cheap.
The thing is that we make some allowances in terms of science fiction for each other in terms of plugging our stuff.
And my next one will be sci-fi. It'll be zines.
Yes,
so,
zines. Okay.
This will lead into that. And this is basically about a guy.
Zines was serialized on Fresh Paul Magazine.
Yes, it was serialized on Fresh Paul Magazine. I'm putting it through an edit right now before I publish it in novel form, which will also be on Amazon. But no, this one isn't a sci-fi. This was about a guy in the 21st century who dies, and instead of going straight to heaven or hell or just nothing, he surprisingly finds himself in a purgatory that is stuck in the age of sail. So he has all kinds of adventures that are trying to figure out what the world is about.
Go pick it up. It's J. Nelson Lee.
J. Nelson Lee.
On Amazon.
Ends of the World. The Ends of the World.
It's a good book.
So.
I do want to, before we tune out, I want to mention Altered Carbon. Picked up for season two.
Yes,
we didn't mention that.
We did review Altered Carbon.
You did. Yeah. Anthony Mackie is being cast as the lead. I like Anthony Mackie. I like Altered Carbon. Not sure if I like the two mixed together.
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
It's one of those things like if you mix two things, like if you mix a Coke and
if he nails the physical parts, he'll be okay. But
right.
I don't see him as being, even though he was whatever in the Avengers, I don't see him as like doing like crazy hand-to-hand combat scenes.
Maybe not, but you know, sometimes people get training, actors get training, and they surprise.
That's true. If Keanu Reeves can pull off, like, you know, Shaolin Long Fist, then maybe Anthony Mackie can rock it out. So, and also, he crushed him, Krav Maga, in John Wick.
I'll tell you what, if you had told me that before I saw The Matrix, you know, I'd be like, oh, the guy from Bill and Ted's Adventure is going to be doing, I thought it was
Point Break.
But he did a really good job.
So, which they should cast Keanu Reeves and what's the guy who plays Thor?
Chris Hemsley.
Chris Hemsley. They should cast them together so they can have like a Point Break reference. Anyway, just as a reminder, okay, like, share, comment, you're automatically eligible for the loot crate. But also, you can show your support by doing that. We appreciate your likes and your shares. We value that above everything else. But if you feel like you want to take the additional step of supporting us, you can go to Buy Me a Coffee.
Right.
And you can go, it's ad hoc basis. You can donate $1, $3, $5 and, you know, whatever increments you want. Or you can do a recurring contribution through Patreon, which we also are totally down with.
That's cool, too.
So
it's really, Patreon is a fantastic platform. It's very,
yes.
A lot of people are, there's a lot of Patreon successes.
So thank you for tuning in, and we will be releasing these in, like we said, half-hour segments weekly.
Yep.
If you missed any part of this, you can just subscribe to the podcast, and you'll see us again next month with some all-new content.
Absolutely. Where we will be reviewing, do you want to go ahead and say what we're going to be
reviewing? No, you go ahead and say it.
Yeah, we're going to be reviewing the next Murderbot, which is a Rogue Protocol.
That's right.
By Martha Wells, and we're going to try to find a movie. We're going to try to find a real movie to review.
Yes.
But it's really scarce this summer for sci-fi.
It is.
So, thanks for...
Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you later. Thank you.